party actually won the 2020 presidential election but was fraudulently denied his victory. He told CPAC the Democrats just lost the White House, despite the fact that Joe Biden was inaugurated as the 46th President of the United States on 20th of January, sworn in by the Supreme Court Chief Justice John Roberts, and officials at all levels called the election the most secure in U.S. history. Trump said to wild cheers, "I may even decide to beat them for a third time." The twice impeached ex-president unleashed pent-up frustration after 2 months of social media silence. He was banned by both Facebook and Twitter for incendiary comments and just a handful of television interviews. Donald Trump made it clear he intends to remain a political force by declaring, "I stand before you today to declare that the incredible journey we began together 4 years ago is far from over. We all knew that the Biden administration was going to be bad, but none of us imagined just how bad they would be and how far left they would go. Joe Biden has had the most disastrous first month of any president in modern history." Donald Trump added, "Biden's radical immigration policies aren't just illegal, they're immoral, they're heartless, and they are a betrayal of our nation's core values." Donald Trump also called on Joe Biden to reopen schools despite ongoing safety fears due to the coronavirus pandemic. The former president also invoked his America First nationalist agenda by insisting, "We believe in standing up to China, shutting down outsourcing, bringing back our factories and supply chains, and ensuring that America, not China, dominates the future." In a speech that lasted about 90 minutes, Donald Trump fell back on his reliable right-wing themes against immigration, especially dealing harshly with migrants crossing the U.S.-Mexico border, and talking up his barrier strengthening there. He also took off on a transphobic rant, claiming that transgender athletes were ruining women's sports. And Donald Trump positioned himself at the presumed heart of the Republican Party, saying any idea that he was going to lead a breakaway political party was fake news. Despite the recent bipartisan vote at his impeachment trial, where he escaped conviction, Trump claims the Republican Party is united. "The only division is between a handful of Washington, D.C. establishment political hacks and everybody else all over the country." Most commentators expect Donald Trump, age 74, to leave open the possibility that he will run for re-election in 2024 without making a definitive commitment. He has remained a looming presence at CPAC, with speaker after speaker pledging fealty to him and his Make America Great Again agenda, while a golden calf-style idol in his image was even paraded around the convention halls. Numerous speakers and panels have also indulged and prompted Donald Trump's brazen lie that the election was stolen from him. Matt Schlapp, chair of the American Conservative Union, which runs the conference, claimed, "CPAC is your first opportunity to see what actually happened on election day, and there was widespread voter fraud in way too many states, most especially in big cities run by the Democratic machine. That is fact, and we gave you evidence to underscore that fact." Tom Fitton, president of the right-wing group Judicial Watch, told attendees, "On election day, President Trump had the votes to win the presidency. These vote totals were changed because of unprecedented and extraordinary counting after election day. Judicial Watch has long warned of the chaos and increased risk of fraud from recklessly mailing 100 million ballots and ballot applications." Such claims have repeatedly been proved false. Mail-in voting surged because of the coronavirus pandemic, but state officials, including Republicans, reported no significant irregularities in the vote. The former president and his allies lost more than 60 legal challenges, including those weighed by Trump-appointed judges. Donald Trump's own Attorney General, William Barr, dismissed the fraud allegations. The former president rounded off his speech with another tease about his future ambitions, telling the crowd, "With your help, we will take back the White House. We will win the Senate, and then a Republican president will make a triumphant return to the White House. And I wonder who that will be. I wonder who that will be. Who will that be? I wonder." Earlier on Sunday, 28th of February, the Republican Congressman Jim Jordan said of Trump, "The leader of the conservative movement, the leader of the America First movement, the leader of the Republican Party, and I hope on 20th of January 2025, he will be once again the leader of our great country." But the annual CPAC straw poll found that only 55% of attendees actually want Donald Trump to be the Republican presidential nominee in 2024, ahead of Florida Governor Ron DeSantis at 21%. The CPAC conference, of course, was held in Florida. South Dakota Governor Chrissy Noem at 4%, and former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley at 3%. Evan McMullen, Executive Director of Stand Up Republic and a former presidential candidate, tweeted in response, "It's still Donald Trump's party, but there's a growing number ready for something new." Meanwhile, for all the talk of party unity, CPAC was notable for the absence of former Vice President Mike Pence, and absence of Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, and a number of other leading Republicans. Bill Cassidy, a Republican senator from Louisiana, insisted that CPAC does not represent the entire Republican Party. Bill Cassidy said, "Now, if we plan to win in midterm elections in 2022, and a presidential election in 2024, we have to listen to the voters, not just those who really like President Trump, but also those who perhaps are less sure," he told CNN's State of the Union program. Cassidy added, "If we idolize one person, we will lose, and that's kind of clear from the last election."
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/EN.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamadi.
Islamadi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all of time.
By the first verse of the Holy Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Allah will bless you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Protect you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Help you.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
So ask His blessings.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His protection.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
His help.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, boys and girls, other life forms, anything that praises the Lord Almighty, subhanahu wa ta'ala, peace and salutations be upon you, my fellow. I am Zainab.
I hope they're still awake.
This is Youth Station. He is Brother Mehdi. Thank you so very much for being with us. Today, we're going to be talking something that I so totally cannot relate to.
It's a pleasure.
You're a dad, right?
Yeah.
I need a little bit more enthusiasm.
Yes!
Is it wonderful being a father?
It's gorgeous, man. It's insane.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you being sarcastic?
No, really. It's insane, you know. Sometimes, even when you're out, when you think, when all of a sudden something you remember about your child, you just lose your mind. You just want to be there.
Really?
Yeah, it's gorgeous, bro.
It's a wonderful feeling,
yeah,
right? Is she like the reason why you get out of bed in the morning?
Yeah, because she smacks me in the face.
And she doesn't let you sleep. Oh my God, that's so precious.
I know.
Do you find that you have become or are actively trying to become a better person because of her?
I think so. It's not active. It's very subconscious for me. In your subconscious. Yeah,
okay.
It's very, yeah. And for me, it was insane because you learn a lot from children.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah. It's
even Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he counts qualities and attributes of kids that he likes and he appreciates. Like, one of it is that they fight, but they hold no grudges.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're like, I'm never talking to you again. And then it's like tomorrow, and they run into each other's arms. I'm like, I missed you, and I brought you my lollipop and this and that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's beautiful.
It's gorgeous. It's insane. So many things that you see. حُبُّ الْأَطْفَالِ فَإِنِّي فَطَرْتُهُمْ عَلَى تَوْحِيدِي. You know, so Allah says that love of infant children, أطفال over here means children, literally, not infants. Because Allah says, I've made them upon the true
essence,
nature that, I don't know how to put that. But yeah, they've got the purest form of intelligent existence within them that they show, right? That was a bold statement, but that's true. And what we need to do is nurture that. Try to understand what that being is going through and try to nurture that and bring the best out of that child or that beauty that there is.
Do you think your parents succeeded to do that for you?
Oh, as you can see, you know.
The answer is no.
They absolutely did, you know. But yeah, there are things that I do realize that might have affected my approach to life. Were it not for those things, I might have learnt a few things earlier.
Sooner
than I've learnt now. But in general, yeah, I'm very grateful. But yeah, you know.
Would you raise your child the same way you were raised?
The same way, no.
Why?
Because
if it's so great, then why not?
It's great, but it isn't perfect. And no matter what I do, I know that I'm not going to be perfect. All I can do is try to. And I know that my parents did try to. But of course, you know, times change and you can never be the perfect parent, you know, the perfect human being. You need to be the perfect human being to be the perfect parent.
Does that scare you?
It does.
Does that keep you up at night? Like, am I going to, especially because she's a baby girl. And baby girls, they need a bit more attention. They need a bit more, you know, detailed... they need more attention to detail in raising them. Mm-hmm. You need to be very meticulous in your behavior toward them because they pick everything up and they're more, I wouldn't say fragile, but they're more sensitive and they're delicate and they absorb things more than boys do to in certain areas.
Mm. But yeah, you do actively think about it. A few things, like, for example, it's a very early stage, but even then, there are certain things that I remember. We used to have rugby in our school,
mm-hmm.
and as you know, I'm a very lean person,
mm-hmm.
and my mum, oh my lord, she did not let me play rugby. And she's the mother, you know. She's
protective,
so,
sort of way.
Yeah, yeah. She's like, oh, look, they died, but you know, she was like, you're gonna break into half and this and that. What I'm trying to say is, yeah, fair enough, that's different. But what I'm saying is, there's a certain level of independence that children need, right? And instead of them trying to gain that attendance without you, it's actually the best that you give them independence that they want with yourself over there. You know?
It's the safest way, after all.
That's something. Right now, for example, If my daughter falls, and I know she's not hurt, I don't go pick her up.
Right.
You know, I'm not like, I don't go do that. I stare at her with the poker face, dead stare, and she's like, and she's like, okay. And she just gets up and runs away with her own thing. That's something at this stage. Mm. But generally in life, there are a few things that one of my parents, I'm not going to say, but there was this thing that they never told me what I should do, mm-hmm. like as in enforcing it upon me. And fair enough, I did go here and there a lot, way off where I should have been. It brought me, at the end, it was them not enforcing that upon me that made me come to that thing itself, which is, you know.
Wow. Realization of what?
Of faith.
So you're saying that on the one hand, your parents perhaps didn't give you independence in regarding certain matters like rugby, but on the other hand, they didn't enforce things on you, which allowed you to experiment more and were exposed to more things, and then you were free to choose your path in life, and yeah. That turned out well.
Excellent.
I'd say
you're right. About the independence is I had a lot of it. Right, but I've seen this in other people.
Do you have sisters?
Yeah, three.
Did your sisters have that much independence too?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. All right. Okay. Okay. Officially, kudos to your parents.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, like, I wanted too much. You know, I wanted too much that me as a parent might not give
to your child or to your daughter.
To my child. Mm. To my child. But the thing is, I wanted too much. Why? Because when I was a kid, when I was too young, like before nine, right? My mom was too protective.
Mm.
So there are certain things that I wanted to empty out that I wasn't able to.
Okay.
So yeah.
That's fair. And that's normal.
What are the things that you would do that your parents did, and what are the things that you wouldn't do that your parents did?
Okay. I cannot in a cajillion years imagine myself as a parent.
Can I leave?
This is why I said, why are we even having this conversation? I'm the wrongest person in the world to be having this conversation with. But, if I were going to contemplate on what my parents did and didn't do in my upbringing and whether it turned out for the better or not, well, I would say, I wish there was a...
You know, it's not necessary that it's wrong. You know, it could be a more right way. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, of course, their intention was well. They wanted my well-being. And as my parents, they had the responsibility of doing everything in their power to make sure I was going to be the best, you know, version of Zainab I could be. They tried. Whether they succeeded or not is, you know, yet to be discussed.
Yeah.
They did it with the resources and the abilities and the knowledge that they had, like 20 years ago, raising a child in those circumstances. I was spoiled. As a child.
As a child, okay.
I was very spoiled because I was the only girl. And but then I think I hit a certain age where I just became rebellious.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I don't want a nanny. Maybe I don't want to do this. Maybe I don't want to be there. Maybe I don't want to dress like a girl. And then I picked up this really tomboy sort of persona, you know, and I stayed away from dresses and skirts and everything girly and pink for the longest, longest time. And my dad, he was very strict on me being a girl because I was his only baby girl, you know, and I understand that.
How old was this? I want to know because I have a daughter, you know.
If she wants to maybe take up Muay Thai or Taekwondo or karate.
Oh, I'm
going to
send her right now. She does Kia right now.
Exactly,
she's not even two.
Right? So just let her.
I'm teaching her.
There we go. Bless your heart. But my daddy wouldn't. And he was like, no, you're a girl.
Yeah, but how old were you? 10. All right. Okay.
Right?
This is for my own information that I'm asking.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you want, I'll give you my Baba's phone number and you guys can converse.
He's not going to tell me what he did wrong.
Especially my Baba, if he had allowed me to experiment with those interests a bit more, I would have gone so hard on during my adolescence, you know? But then I feel like it turned out for the best because looking in hindsight, looking at where I am now, I turned into this really independent, hardcore woman, which I appreciate. You need to be like that in today's world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I would say that. It was there. I think in child upbringing, one of the most important elements every conscious parent has to implement is balance.
Mm.
Right?
Mm, yeah.
And I think because I was the only daughter and my dad had me when he was pretty old, and the culture and the society that we grew up in, he wanted to just protect me and put me in a bubble. And, you know, and then after age, I was like, just let me go. I want to breathe. Stop doting over me like that. There has to be a balance.
Mm.
Otherwise, your child will just...
Yeah, rebel.
Rebel.
Mm.
That's very, very important in child upbringing. I believe that even psychologists emphasize on it a lot, saying that your punishment and reward should be proportionate with the action of the child,
mm-hmm.
right? And because otherwise, when the child grows up and they develop that more intelligence and more personality, they won't be able to differentiate. And
yeah, sorry, man. You reminded me of something very... about punishing and reward.
Yeah.
You know what I think wish had happened? I actually literally, you know, things that we tell, we're like, oh, that's something a bit complicated for the child to understand. You know? So these things, nothing's too complicated
yes,
for the child.
Yes, yes.
You know, I wish every single thing, instead of reward and punishment, I just wanted a logical explanation for everything.
Here,
you know?
Here.
And yeah, I wouldn't need anything else. You know what I'm saying?
Huzzah.
You know, yeah, so...
I totally agree with you.
And I think that's the complete generation. The millennials, I think, and even the ones who are coming, they are
the Gen Z.
Yeah, so they are all... I'm not going to do unless I know.
Exactly.
That's all they are.
And
right
I find
now.
That so refreshing.
You're right.
It's
you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah, that's a hope. That's an ray
really,
of hope.
It really, really is a ray of hope. And alhamdulillah rabbil alameen, I wish... all parents, the best of luck in this. Great.
Yeah,
thank you so very much for being with us on this episode of
You're Welcome
Station. Until another greeting and salam, I leave you in the care and protection of the Almighty. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
I am what I am because you made. I have what I have. My love is strong because you are the one I call creator, my alpha and omega, my protector and my maker. Because of you, in weakness I am braver, my defender. Abiding in silence with patience and guidance, I will when I need you.
Food for thought.
Hello, dear listeners. For your information, once when the commander of the faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, was asked about the best and the worst creations of God, he answered, "Wording is the best and the worst thing that God created. By means of wording, some faces become white, and by means of wording, some faces become black."
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Welcome to the lighter side of the news. It's good to have you with us. Well, this looks good. Tourism in Oman took a nosedive during the COVID-19 pandemic, sadly, much like many places in the world. But one village managed to turn its fortunes around by transforming some ancient homes into hotels and touristic attractions. Nestled in the high mountains of Oman, the village of Misfat al-Ibrahim offers some of the most beautiful and serene natural areas for trail running and rock climbing. Now, the village has repurposed ancient mud brick homes into boutique hotels. The beige-coloured homes with walls of handmade mud brick are elegant and simple, and the interior spaces are furnished with traditional wood and textiles.
Misfat al-Ibrahim attracts many tourists, so people and project owners in the village have planned on expanding touristic projects. You'll find heritage hotels, popular cafes and restaurants. We, as a company, decided to provide various adventure-related activities too.
The centuries-old homes were renovated for safety and comfort to combine old Omani life with modern amenities. The village is near what is called Oman's Grand Canyon and has somewhere around 800 residents. Many tourists have visited the area because of the heritage hotels and environmental components in the ancient village. These inns have attracted many tourists to the area despite the COVID-19 pandemic. Almost everyone has seen snowmen, but how many people have encountered a snow snake in their lifetime? A family in the US has awed their neighborhood with a fascinating ice sculpture of a serpent. The household in Colorado spent 10 hours making the impressive artwork in their front yard. They first created the shape of the animal and then sprayed paint on it to bring it to life. The sculpture measures 23 meters in length. It has attracted many neighbors and passers-by who occasionally take pictures with it. This is not the first time the family made headlines with their ice work. In 2019, they caught people's eyes with an ice sculpture of a tiger. A giant ice disc with an even greater message here. People in Finland have carved a humongous carousel in Lake Lapajärvi to raise awareness about global warming. An inventor and a team of helpers spent days in sub-zero temperatures to create what they say is the world's largest ice carousel. The rotating machine is over 300 meters wide and is spun by motorboats. The makers also carved another smaller disc in the ice next to it. The two carousels were commissioned by local authorities who want to bring attention to climate change and shortening winters in Finland. An iceberg the size of Greater London breaks off in Antarctica years after the first cracks appeared. The iceberg detached from the Brunt ice shelf near a British research station and is expected to either move away or run aground not far from the ice shelf. Scientists were expecting the calving of the iceberg to happen after monitoring the area with GPS instruments and satellite imagery on a daily basis. They discovered the first cracks almost 10 years ago, but they are skeptical about the role of climate change in this case.
A unique remnant of bygone days. Archaeologists have found a rare ancient Roman ceremonial carriage outside Pompeii. The carriage was unearthed near the stables of a village just outside the very city. It has four wheels and is made of iron, bronze, and tin. The vehicle is the first of its kind discovered in the area. Italy's culture minister has called it a unique find without any precedent in the country. Pompeii was buried under ash and a volcanic eruption in 79 AD. So far, about two-thirds of the ancient city has been uncovered, I should say. The lights, merriment, and traditional food. That's what China's Lantern Festival has brought to millions of people across the country.
Loneliness can hit anyone at any time, but it becomes severe during the pandemic-like scenario the world is going through. But some Japanese are enjoying the companionship of robots to overcome loneliness as they are unable to meet their loved ones during the coronavirus. The cute singing snowman is called Charlie. He is one among a large number of new generation clever robots being produced in Japan. Manufacturers are making a wide variety of affordable androids as well as robotic pets, and they say their sales are booming. They also say their products have found favor with customers of all ages, not just kids. Studies have shown that therapeutic pets can bring comfort to dementia patients.
Spring is coming, and blossoming flowers are once again creating stunning sceneries across China. Clouds of cherry blossoms have created breathtaking views in Wuhan, a city known for being the birthplace of COVID-19. Inside the city, the main university is one of the best places to enjoy those blossoms, being well known for that among the Chinese. Students are thrilled to enjoy the floral scenery after missing it last year.
As the pandemic has been well brought under control in China so far this year, residents in Wuhan City, as well as students, workers, and teachers of the university all come for the flowers and this warm spring.
In other cities, it is the plum flower that attracts a large number of visitors. They say the white-colored blossoms on mountains seem as if it had been snowing. Many of the tourists choose to stay in resorts that offer picturesque views of flowers. Many say they wait for a year so that they can draw a picture of the blossoms.
Police across the globe are using new methods to prevent crime and improve their performance. Now, Pakistani police have come up with an idea to put officers on rollerblades to catch criminals in the commercial hub Karachi. The new armed rollerblading unit is going through rigorous training for over a month with the aim of curbing theft and harassment on the streets. During the training, They were seen carefully balancing on skates while leaping over staircases or lifting their guns. The unit, made up of 10 men and 10 women, would be sent to public places. The chief of the unit says rollerblades make chasing thieves on motorcycles through the city of 20 million much easier.
We felt we needed to come up with some innovative approach to control street crime in Karachi. We analyzed and saw that there are certain spots where crime incidents, say for example mobile snatching, are more frequent. We also saw that criminals use motorcycles that help them run away easily. At times, it is difficult for police teams to chase them from our vehicles.
The unit chief also says that officers would only carry handguns, while in some locations, such as shopping malls, they will not be armed at all. Officers say they can now reach narrow alleys very quickly, where it's usually difficult to go. The rollerblading police are expected to be deployed officially next month.
The coronavirus and related restrictions have forced many businesses to either close or struggle. But some people have found ways to save their jobs and help others to survive the crisis. A top German chef is the one. Peter Frusamer now prepares dishes at a hospital canteen outside Berlin. Frusamer says before accepting the job, he was the head chef at his wife's restaurant. But it was closed due to the pandemic, and he chose to be a hospital cook rather than a jobless man. This German chef says he is happy to find some distraction while working in a hospital kitchen, besides making a contribution to patients' recovery.
I find it frustrating to be here and see the empty tables and the empty restaurant. When I'm at the hospital, I don't notice any of this. For me, the coronavirus crisis doesn't exist at the hospital. Sure, corona is always a topic, but there, I'm at work and I'm busy. But when I come here, I notice what a cut is going through society. That's why I'm happy to have my hospital and to find some distraction. Here in the restaurant, I could actually sit down and start crying.
The hospital staff also seem happy with Frusamer's presence. They say since the arrival of the new chef, they come to eat in the canteen regularly and discover new dishes not eaten before. Frusamer believes the reason health workers and patients love his dishes is that he gives his heart and soul to the food.
Niagara Falls on the U.S.-Canada borders is known for its spectacular timeless beauty, attracting tourists, especially during the summer. But this year's frigid temperature has created another spectacular scene at this natural wonder. Visitors to the New York side of the falls were treated with a remarkable view, as stream falling down the Niagara River is now crusted with ice. A rainbow adds more beauty, leading to the most amazing view of the falls. Every day, dozens of people help each other walk across icy stream to take a closer look at the beauty created by the extreme cold weather. More snowfall, low temperature have been predicted for the coming days, meaning people will have more time to enjoy the place.
For some people, it may take years to build a morning running habit. However, this very special runner seems very impatient in sticking to its daily running routine. The 2-meter-tall ostrich escaped its dwelling to run alongside vehicles on the streets of Beihai, South China. It even tried to keep up with a car's speed by jogging at a very fast pace. The bird's owner says it opened the gates of the farm it stayed in and escaped. He guided the fugitive bird back to the farm by covering his face with a red cloth. The video of the athlete ostrich went viral after its running was caught on traffic cameras. That's a wrap up. Thank you so much for being with us, and bye-bye.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islam dina.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, in faith and humanity, salamu alaikum, and so welcome to this program entitled Today's Special. Today we're going to speak about loving the world in Islam.
Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق آمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس, أغبط لنا إحساس أنت هالينا.
Today, Tuesday, is the 18th of Rajab, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 12th of the month of Isfand, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 2nd of March, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open the Holy Quran and we'll listen to Chapter Yunus, verse 45.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ويوم يحشرهم كأن لم يلبثوا إلا ساعة من النهار يتعارفون بينهم. قد خسر الذين كذبوا بلقاء الله وما كانوا مهتدين.
And on the day when he will gather them, it will be as if they had not remained in the world but an hour of the day, and they will know each other. Those will have lost who denied the meeting with Allah and were not guided.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The greatness of the Day of Judgment is such that one's entire life prior to it will seem as if it lasted only a short time. The Quran commands us to remember the day of judgment, when Allah will make them all rise from the dead and assemble them, and they will have a feeling that their entire lives in this world had not exceeded more than one single day, so much that they would get to see and to know one another. Today I'm going to speak about the reality of the world. One scholar remarks, your world and your hereafter are two inner states of your heart. That which is nearer and is concerned with the life before death is the world, and whatever that follows it and is concerned with the life after death is the hereafter. Therefore, everything that earns you pleasure and joy and provokes your lust before death, it is the world for you. The world may sometimes be regarded as mentioning the lowest level of existence and the abode of change, transition, and annihilation. What about hereafter? The hereafter signifies return from this lower mode of the existence to the higher, celestial plane, one's inner world, which is the abode of permanence, stability, and eternity. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with seeking worldly pleasures and seeking this world for the sake of this world, for itself, as viewed in Islam. Instinctively, all people understand and appreciate the least level or the least amount of understanding what's good and what's not good, or what's good and what's evil. However, we find that those people who have been zealous to add to their knowledge and to excel, they understand more. Suppose that, for example, everybody understands the meaning of heat, the meaning of cold, the meaning of, for example, height, the meaning of, for example, right, left, and other things. This is quite instinctive. Everybody, every man understands it. Yet, for example, a person who chooses to study, for example, physics, understands more about, for example, the meaning of heat. In the same way, we may say that all people may understand, I mean, the basics of the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created quite inherently in them. Yet we find that some people follow this world, I mean, follow the carnal desires, follow the transitory wishes in this world, and some people are cognizant enough and aware of the fate and the destination in the world hereafter, I mean, in the afterlife. And because of this, they seldom give preference to the whims and to the desires, I mean, especially carnal desires in this world.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Again, we reach to a familiar part, the world and worldliness, the relation between man and the world. It is evident that man's relation to the world is similar to the one that exists between the merchant and the marketplace. It is not possible for man to alienate himself from the world or sever his ties with it or develop a kind of relationship which is wholly negative. Man has neither come to this world by cheating or fraud, nor should he go from here as an accused. There is a general force of attraction and gravitation that encompasses the whole universe. All the particles in it attract each other according to a set pattern. This pattern of mutual attraction and absorption is determined by a judicious design. Moreover, the force of attraction and love is not confined to a man alone. No particle in the universe is devoid of this power. The difference, however, is that man, contrary to other things, is aware of his own learnings and inclinations.
Shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, save me, accept al-Habib.
شفعة أنا لها أنا لها.
This is today's special and this question, how to control our love for this dunya, comparing too much love of dunya as adults. As adults, we still fall for the same traps we did as children. When the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his pure progeny, was asked whether the verse in the Quran, chapter 23, verse 60, and those who give whatever they have to give while their hearts are trembling, refer to people who committed sins, he replied, "No, they are those who fast, pray, and give charity while fearing that these deeds may not be accepted by Allah. They are those who compete with one another in good deeds." The key is to understand that Allah does not deny or impulses. He encourages us to redirect them to something better. Remind yourself that everything you do in this dunya can be done for the love of Allah if you just have the right intentions. That is the first and last condition. And say, "Indeed, my prayer, my service of sacrifice, my living and my dying are for Allah, Lord of the worlds." Chapter 6, verse 162.
وحملها الإنسان. But the human being, did he do justice? He did not do justice. The human being did not do justice. إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. He oppressed the status that Allah gave him. Why? Because he allowed his heart and mind to be severely attached to this materialistic world. And therefore, he allowed himself to be lower. Because Allah gave you the intellect, the expectation from you is greater. But that is the difficulty that we all experience, the issue of attachment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you in this physical world. Allah says, "I've given you the tools, get out of this state. Break this attachment, can you? Then you're an honorable human being who deserves that eternal reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." It's not easy. And then once the child keeps growing up, we become teenagers. Now we find objects in our life in order to express ourselves. And we develop an identity around these objects. For a lot of teenagers, or people in their young 20s, especially the brothers, when you buy that first car, how do you feel about that car? That car becomes an extension of your own identity, right? That's why you personalize it, you customize it. Why do people customize the cars? That's why some people, when they lose these objects, it's as if their life has been taken away from them.
I was so far from you, yet to me you were always so close. I wandered lost in the dark. I closed my eyes to all the signs you put in my way. I walked every day further.
Dear friends, dear believers, we hope you've made the most use of today's program. Please send your comments and suggestions at parstoday.com/yen. Please do keep us in your prayer. Fi amanillah.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the